coming and the rapture, it will keep you from watching for Christ to come back. I beg to differ. I am watching for Christ to come back. I am waiting for Christ to come back. I am working for Christ to come back. And I know there are a number of things that are going to lead up to it. And I'm so glad. I've had times where people have said to me, we're in the 70th week. You know, there was a peace treaty signed when Bill Clinton was president. Oh, this is the peace treaty. I said, no, it's not. It's something that makes us think about it, but it's not, because I know what the Bible said. I know where we are, and it's so important to know these prophecies. And I can remember a time when I knew about Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I knew the 70th week was going to come, but I wondered if there were any other things that would lead up to the Russian invasion into Israel and the Turkish invasion and this great invasion that will have to have God intervene, you know, to protect Israel. And I found out there are some great things. And I'm deeply indebted to a Bible scholar by the name of Bill Salus, S-A-L-U-S. And Bill's been on our website. He probably appreciates some of the things on there because he's helped me out and I've shared it. And tonight, I want to talk about this, and I may do a series on this on Sunday night, because thank God for getting fired up, but you need to understand where we are, not only in the United States, so that you'll make the right decisions, but where we are in the world. And a country even more important than the United States in the world is what nation?
Israel.
What nation?
Israel.
Israel. They're God's timepiece. And so I want to start, this may be a series, but it is called You Should Choose God's Middle East Peace Plan Instead of the Abraham Accords. And this is a teaching message, so put on your thinking cap and get with me on this. But I want to talk to you about God's program for peace in the Middle East and how that is going to happen. And I'd like to go all the way from now all the way up until the rapture, you know, and share with you what's going on, and so that you can know exactly where you are. I remember Luke Zukowski, when he was out to camp, I heard Luke heard about something happening, and that was, he heard about the United States along with Israel bombing the nuclear sites in Iran. And Luke was like, hey, I've been hearing about that. I've been preaching about that for what, about 15 years? And Luke perked up his ear and he was like, something's going on over there. And you know, you need to understand and to know those things. And so I'm going to get into some teaching on this, but you should choose God's Middle East peace plan instead of the Abraham Accords. And I want to just deal with one or two points tonight. Number one, choose God's foreign policy toward the nation of Israel. I know Tucker Carlson got on there with Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz was talking about Israel and how he learned in Sunday school how important Israel was. And Tucker Carlson was kind of trying to throw him off with his questions, and Ted Cruz had a hard time answering those things. But what Ted Cruz said is right. You need to have a pro-Israel foreign policy. Does that mean everything is good about Israel? Oh, no, they've got bad things over there. They've got homosexuality there. They've got gay pride over there. They've got sin over there. They've got a lot of things that are not good in the nation of Israel. But nevertheless, you should choose God's foreign policy toward Israel. And I want to go to the Old Testament and talk to you about, in Genesis 12 and then through the Old Testament, what God promised Abraham concerning Israel. And God made a covenant with Abraham. You have a marriage covenant with a husband promises wife things, wife promises husband things. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said, I am going to do this. It was a guaranteed thing. It was unconditional. It wasn't dependent on Abraham's works. It wasn't dependent on Israel keeping the law of Moses, because this covenant was made, listen to me, 430 years before God gave the covenant of Moses on Mount Sinai, and Israel broke that, and they were kicked out of their land, and they were judged. And by the way, God's not done judging Israel under the Mosaic covenant. In fact, there's 1 7-year period left where God has to chasten Israel, and they will be chastened during the Great Tribulation, and they will be chastened during the day of the Lord's wrath. By the way, if you're a born-again Christian, you're not going to be here for the day of the Lord's wrath. You're going to be raptured out of here before God's wrath, but you will be here through the great persecution if you're alive during that time still. But I want to say, while we're waiting for the Lord to come back, while we're watching for the Lord to come back, while we're working, and we're working to build the church. By the way, the church is not Israel. And Israel is not the church. Just because God's chosen nation is over there, and Ted Cruz needs to be clear, it is a nation. Tucker, it is a nation. It's God's earthly people. It's God's earthly nation. It has a geopolitical land area and all of that. And God has promised to bless the nation of Israel. And God is working through Israel as a nation. But we need to understand right now, unless an Israelite accepts Jesus as their Messiah, they're going to have to die and unfortunately go to hell. Just like anybody else. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus said to the Jewish leaders, you're of your father the devil, and the will of your father you do. You need to be born again. That's the most important thing we can do, is give the gospel to Jews as well as Gentiles and warn them. Warn them like John the Baptist did. You generation of vipers, flee the wrath of God that's going to come, and run to Jesus Christ. And we need to be witnessing for Jesus Christ. But I want to say, as an individual and as a nation, realize Israel is God's chosen nation, and He has a blessing for any nation, listen to me, and any individual that will bless Israel and be for Israel and love them and pray for them. Because God said to Abraham that from you, from your descendants, Abraham, He just picked him out and he chose him, and He said, from you, from your descendants, you're going to have a great nation descend. Now we know that's the nation of Israel. And then He said, you're going to have a great name, Abraham. In other words, Abraham, you're going to become very famous. He was just over there in the Middle East, just a lonely place. And yet He said, you're going to have a famous, great name. He said, number three, you're going to have your seed, or your descendants are going to be here forever. Nobody will be able to get rid of your descendants, Abraham. I'm going to preserve your descendants. And He was speaking not only of His spiritual descendants that we are because we have His faith, but He was speaking of His physical descendants, that they would be here forever. And then He said, listen to this, I'm going to give you a promised land. That land would go all the way from the river in Egypt, all the way to the Euphrates River, all the way in the south from that part of Egypt, all the way up to the north in the mountains of Lebanon. God said, that is your land, and it is your promised land. He gave that to Abraham. It's guaranteed that, and by the way, God has never changed that covenant promise. That's Israel's land. You know, people argue about Israel, their land. No, their land covers that land area. And that's God's foreign policy. So if you are, listen to me, if you are with God's attitude toward Israel, you will know that God has blessed this nation. He's given them these wonderful promises, and He has regathered them back to their land. And they don't have all their land. They only have about the size of New Jersey, and it's bigger than Texas that they should have. And that's their promised land. And then He promised them an eternal king, an eternal king. And that king ultimately would be Jesus, amen, an eternal king. And then He promised that He would give them an eternal law to govern them. And as a nation, they're going to be governed by that eternal law. It's called the New Covenant, and we'll talk about that. But that is something. So God's foreign policy for all Gentile nations as they relate to the nation of Israel from Abraham. That's what we want to talk about. Now, it's very interesting to me that Donald Trump appointed Mike Huckabee to be the ambassador to Israel. That's a good choice. Because he's a born-again Christian, and he believes in these things that I'm talking to you about, to the best of my knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean Mike Huckabee won't tell Israel where they're wrong. He said something to them about Christians and bombing areas where Christians were, and he warned them about that, and he said that. And so, thank God for that, because, you see, you and I in the church is supposed to be made up of Jew and Gentile, you and I are being saved and being blessed by God so that we can provoke Israel to jealousy. I wonder, does your life provoke others to jealousy? Your love for the Lord, your answers to prayer, your spiritual witness for Christ, does that provoke others and they want what you've got? It would be great to have what you have. You see, God says that's what you and I should be doing. We should make people in the world thirsty and sick of their sin, realizing how good God is. But so often the church is trying to follow the world and trying to follow the world, and you're missing out on the blessing. But we're saved to provoke the Jew to envy, so they'll be jealous of what we have. And when's the last time we had a Jew saved? When's the last time we had a Jewish person baptized and in the church? And God said he would save a remnant of the Jewish people, even though right now they're blind to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about God's foreign policy as it relates to the nation of Israel descended from Abraham. And let me say that those people and nations that bless Abraham and that bless the great nation that descended from him will be blessed. But those people that cursed the nation of Israel and down the nation of Israel, they're going to be cursed. There was a guy named Harrison, something like that, on Alex Jones, and I heard him the other day, and he was talking about Israel. And he was saying negative things about Israel. It's all right to point out faults about Israel, but then he said, I wish they'd just get out of the land there. Get them out of that area there. Boy, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I wouldn't want to be saying that, thinking like that. That's a wrong attitude. And, you know, Paul said they're enemies to the gospel. He knew the Jewish people were fighting the gospel. And you go over to Israel, you start witnessing, you'll find out some people will give you some of the hardest stuff I've had is from Orthodox Jewish people. But they're beloved for their father's sake. They're chosen by God. And they need to get saved. And we want to see the nation of Israel accept their Messiah. And so it says that Abraham's descendants, through his descendants, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Hey, you like your Bible? It was written by all Jews. You like your Bible? It came to you through the Jews. Do you love your Messiah, Jesus Christ? He was a Jew. Salvation, he said in John 4, is of the Jews. Don't forget that some of these believers today, and I believe they're believers and they're saved, they don't appreciate Israel. They act as though Israel's permanently cut off with replacement theology. Listen, I thank God for the church. I thank God I'm part of the church. But the church is never going to replace Israel. God is not finished with Israel. And so I'm not going to be finished with Israel. And I'm going to stay with it, my friend. They gave us the Bible. They gave us our Savior. And you know what? They're ultimately going to give us the kingdom of God back on the earth again. You see, ever since Adam in the Garden of Eden was the first king, and when he sinned, his kingdom was taken from him. And now the kingdom of God is not on earth again. The church is not the kingdom of God. Did you hear me? The theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God, the mediatorial kingdom of God, when God is going to mediate his rule on earth through a man. And guess who that man is going to be? A Jewish carpenter. A Jewish king. And under him is going to be the prince of Israel, who's going to reign over Israel. Do you know his name? David. And The kingdom of God, that won't come, listen to me, that won't come to earth until Israel repents of their rejection of their Messiah, and they cry and they say, oh, we rejected him, we accept him now. And they're going to accept him. And then the kingdom of God will come to this earth. And you think the church is great. Can you imagine? You know what Jesus said? He said, there's none greater born of woman than who? John the Baptist. He said, but anybody in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Because when this kingdom comes to earth, it is going to be a blessed time. And it is coming, my friend. You can mark it down. We're getting closer to that day. And so God's foreign policy is, he says in Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, speaking of Abraham's descendants, Israel, and curse him that curseth thee. He told that to Abraham. And then he said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a great name. How many have heard of Abraham? Yeah, you've heard of Abraham. Because Abraham is the forefather of your Savior, Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. Amen? And so his name is great among Christians. Christians know about Abraham. The name Abraham means great father. He is a great patriarch. And even in hell, a man recognized Abraham. Remember that? He said, the rich man was in hell. He said, Father Abraham, called him Father Abraham. He's great. He's great even to the people in hell. And he's great, you see, to the Christian people. But wait a minute. He's great to the Jewish people. Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and God gave his promises to the Jewish people. And so he's great among the Jewish people. But what about the Arab people? Is he great among the Arab? Absolutely. Abraham had a son from Hagar by the name of what? Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of the Arab people. And hence we have the Abraham Accords. What our administration has said is we want prosperity in the Middle East. We want peace in the Middle East. And so why not take all these people that everybody recognizes Abraham, the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims, or the Islamic people, or the Arab people, as I say. They're now Islamic in their religion. Why don't we get them all together, not necessarily to worship God, but to have trade, economy. Everybody likes money and economy, so why not do that? And you know what? During the Trump administration, some steps were taken, and some of these nations got together and signed the Abraham Accords, and others are getting ready to get together to sign these Abraham Accords to have peace and prosperity in the Middle East. And so Abraham's name would be great. By the way, there's one problem with these accords, and it's called in the Bible the ancient hatred. You've heard about it? How many have heard of the ancient hatred? Listen, nothing's going to get rid of it except Jesus. Only Jesus. Because the ancient hatred is when God chose Abraham, Arabs and Jews can agree on that, he chose the son of Abraham called Isaac. And that's good enough for some of the Arabs who descend from Esau. But then he chose his son Jacob. And he said, your great nation will come from Jacob. Whose name was changed to what?
Israel.
Whose name was changed to what?
Israel.
And so the Savior came from Israel. And the Arab people say, no, that's a lie. He came from Ishmael, Hagar's son. That's where the promise went. And therefore, they're looking for an Arab Messiah. Amen. They're looking for the Islamic people because Muhammad really popularized this false teaching and stirred up that ancient hatred that is going on. And you see it in the Quran. I've read verses in the Quran recently. It talks about Christians and kill them or convert them. If you want to read the Quran, kill them or convert them. Same with Jews. Kill them or convert them. Islam demands submission. That's what Islam is all about. You talked about submission to the Lord. The Lord demands submission. Amen? He wants you unconditionally committed. But so does Islam, you see. And so we need to get back to submission to God. But he promised that anybody that blesses Abraham would be blessed, and anybody that curses would be cursed. He promised Abraham a great name. He promised him a family tree forever. Genesis 13:15 says, "For all the land, God speaking to Abraham, which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed," what? Forever. Hey, we're still in that forever period. God still, that promise still holds. And then God said in Genesis 22:17 to a descendants of Abraham, he said that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Now you say, where is those descendants coming from? Well, in Genesis 22:18, it says it's through Abraham that will come. And then in Genesis 26:4, it says the seed that God will bless forever, the forever offspring, we're going to come through Isaac. And then in Genesis 28:14, it says that seed will come through Jacob. Boy, we need to know our Bibles. There are people that try to muddle this and mess this up and confuse you about this and Israel. And hey, listen, I want the blessing of Abraham. I want God's foreign policy. And it comes through Israel, Abraham's seed, a forever tree. And then, number four, he promised a promised land. He said in Genesis 15:18, notice this, "Unto thy seed have I given," what? "This land." Speaking of the promised land in the Middle East that I just mentioned to you. Then he said, I'm going, and people are fighting over that land, aren't they? We'll talk about that. And then he promised an eternal king and an eternal kingdom. I wonder if one of the men can tell me God promised that king would come through Abraham. God promised that king would come through Isaac. That king and that kingdom would come through Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And then later on in Genesis, God said that king will come through one tribe in Israel. One of the men shout out, what tribe was that? Judah. Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. And Judah would be the one. But then God said one man and one family within Judah. The king will come from that man. Who is that man? David. King David. God said that. And who is the son of David that shall be the king? Well, we know that's Yeshua, HaMashiach. That's Jesus, our Savior. But listen, it's a promise of the fallen tabernacle of David is coming back. When I went to Israel, I got off in Tel Aviv, and the first thing I saw was a big Star of David. Some people mock that. They don't like that. They say things against it. But you're going against the Bible. Right. David is going to be the Prince of Israel. Right. The greater Son of David is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is going to be a Davidic monarchy that's going to rule the world, my friends. And people fight over all these things, and they fight over the land of Israel. There should be no reason to fight. Have you ever wondered why so many people hate Donald Trump? They have Trump derangement syndrome. It's a real thing. It's satanic. Why? Because of what I said this morning. He's raised up to help believers. He's raised up in answer to prayer. Not perfect, but he's raised up to help believers. He's anointed by God. Do you know why there's such an ancient hatred against Israel? Anti-Semitism through the years. It's satanic. Satan knows that the Jews are raised up and the kingdom of God will come to this earth when the Jewish people accept their Messiah. And so what does Satan want to do? He wants to assimilate the Jews in with everybody else, or he wants to segregate them and kill them. And that's what Heinrich Himmler did for Hitler. He brought killing to a new level, except for Fauci and Gates. They brought it to another level, those devils. But I'm just saying, we are living in a place where God is working out his program through Israel. Do you realize how amazing it is that you are living in the days when God brought Israel back to their land, gave them back their language, gave them one nation like the Bible said it would be, not Judah and Israel. It would be one nation, and that's the way it is right now. Do you realize that you are living in amazing times? You say, how long is this going to go on? I don't know. God doesn't reckon time like we do, but it's not going to be forever, my friends. The Israel coming back to their land and being a nation, May 14, 1948, signified the super sign that you're supposed to be watching for the Messiah to come back. The temple is going to be rebuilt. Now, do we need a temple? No, we don't need the temple. But the temple will be here in Israel in the millennial kingdom, the millennial temple. So we do need that. That's part of God's kingdom. And we're part of that when Christ comes back. We're going to be reigning with Christ over the world with glorified bodies. But I'm just saying to you that God has a plan, and Satan wants to imitate that. So he's going to raise up a false Christ for the Jews. And he's going to raise up a false god, which is the beast, and they'll worship the beast. And he's going to raise up a tribulation temple. And in that temple, it's going to be desecrated. Just like the temple in Jesus' day needed to be cleaned out, that temple's not going to be what it should be. And Jesus is going to be against what's going to happen, because there's going to be an image of the beast put up in the temple. And that will begin the great tribulation period to come. But all I'm saying to you tonight is, and we don't have time to get too far into this, but God has a program that through the Jews, an eternal king will come and reign, and his eternal kingdom will be here forever and ever, and there'll be an eternal law to govern them, and that is the new covenant. Now you say, well, we are under the new covenant, aren't we? No, you're not under the full new covenant. You're under the spiritual blessings of the new covenant as they apply to the church, the heavenly people. But the new covenant includes memorial sacrifices to remember the sacrifice of the Lord. It involves the Levites. Listen to me, again, in the millennium, the Levites will be offering sacrifices. The Jewish nation will be there. But it won't be the old covenant. It will now be the new covenant. And all the Jewish people, everybody in that nation, will be born again at the beginning of the millennium. And God will be writing by his Spirit upon their hearts, and it's going to be a time of great revival. You know what that tells me? We should be praying for revival right now. Amen. We're not bringing the kingdom back to earth, but we'd like to bring heaven to come down in many hearts and change lives. And we need to be praying for that and get ourselves under the influence of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so how do the Abraham Accord nations and other nations that want to join in the Abraham Accord, how do they line up with God's foreign policy that we just talked about? Let's talk about that just a minute here. Well, let's take Saudi Arabia. They're one of the key Arab nations. Saudis are the true Arabs. And in September 26, 2023, they put forth a peace plan for the Middle East, and they would want this to be part of the Abraham Accords if they're going to get together with Israel and, you know, be close to them. And they want this for the Israel and for the Palestinians. And what did they say? They want a ceasefire in the war between Gaza and Israel. All right. By the way, if Hamas isn't wiped out, if Israel doesn't have total control of Gaza, there's going to be no peace because of the ancient hatred. You say, Pastor, don't you love everybody? I do. When I went to Israel, I led a Palestinian beautiful girl to the Lord as she was waiting on our table as we sat across from the King David Hotel. We should try to get everybody saved. But we have to recognize, you see, how God is working in nations and what's going on. And the Saudi Arabia peace plan is for a ceasefire, and not only that, but the Saudi plan started back in 2002 by 20 Arab Middle Eastern nations, and Israel gave up all the, this is what they want them to do, they haven't done it, thank God, all the land that Israel conquered in 1967 in the Six-Day War, they want them to give it all back up. That's part of the promised land. In fact, when they won that war in 1967, I was a teenager, and I saw that, and I said, man, this was in the Bible. I'm studying in a church that studies about Israel. My church taught there's no future for Israel. But when I saw them win the Six-Day War, and I saw the miracles that were done that they could win that war, I said, man, God is still working with Israel. That's what one of the things that led me away from the church I was brought up in and to become a Baptist. I said, God is still working with the nation of Israel. I heard an evangelist talk about miracles on the battlefield that were witnessed during that Six-Day War. And I said, wow, God is amazing. He's brought these people back. And I was excited about it. Saudi Arabia isn't excited about that. Saudi Arabia, listen, wants them to give up the Golan Heights, wants them to give up the Sinai, which they did in part, quite a bit of that, and wants them to give up all the land that they conquered in the Six-Day War, whether it's the West Bank or any of it. The old city of Jerusalem, they want them to give that up too. Listen, these Christians that get on the radio and they talk about these things, that Israel should do that, they are ignorant of the Bible. They're ignorant. And then, number two, they said they want to, he wants them to solve the Palestinian problem by the right of return, according to UN Resolution 194. Now, I'm going to finish with this because it'll take me a little time, but I want to tell you something. That right of return for the Palestinians is just a bunch of lies. You see, what happened when Israel was given a part of their promised land in November of 1947 by the UN, the Arab people said to the Palestinians that were living in the promised land, they had their own nations already because Jordan had their nation, Syria had their nation, Iraq had their nation, all these Arab nations, they already, Saudi Arabia had their, do you know when they got their nation? Anybody know that? The Ottoman Empire fell in 1914. And 1917, I'm sorry. The Ottoman Empire fell 400 years. And then all these nations were divided to the ancient Arab people and they got land in the Middle East. Israel was the last to do it. May 14, 1948. And so they got that land and they got it in there. But now they say, they said to the Palestinians who were living in Israel, they didn't have a nation. They call them Palestinians. By the way, the nation Palestine, or the land of Palestine, that's what the British used. That Palestine was by a Roman Empire that hated Israel. And he said, who's the worst enemy of Israel? They said, the Philistines. He said, well, then I want to call that land the land of the Philistines. And in the Latin, that would be Palestina. And so he gave it the name Palestine. He wanted to get rid of Israel. He's just like the people in the UN. And that resolution wants to get rid of Israel. And so how do they do it? They say the Palestinians, they need to stay in the... So they have this little land about as big as New Jersey. Now we need a hunk of this land for more Arabs who are Palestinian Arabs descended from Esau. And Esau intermarried with Ishmael. So we need... What are they trying to do? They're just trying to whittle away at Israel and get them out of there a piece at a time. And so they said to the Palestinians that were living there, here's what the Arab nations said all around them. They said, look, if you leave your land as soon as Israel is declared a nation, May 14, 1948, we're going to attack them. It'll be just a few million Jews against 60 million of us. 60 million of us. We're going to wipe them out. Then, after we wipe out those Jews, we're going to put you back in your house. But we're going to give you extra houses because you're doing this to help. And so the quote-unquote Palestinians left where Israel was. The Arabs attacked, but the Jews won. They didn't expect that. So when the Jews won, they said, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to argue for the right of return. We're going to say that Israel displaced these people, which is a bald-faced lie. And we're going to have the right of return, and that means that they get to go back to their land. But why did the Arab nations take them in? They're in alliance with the Arab people. They didn't take them in because they wanted to use this as a political football to try to put pressure on Israel to give up more land. And they keep saying to Israel, if you give up more land, we'll be good neighbors to you. If you give up more land, you can have peace with us. Let me tell you something. Don't compromise with the devil. That's not God's plan. God said, here is the land, and this is your land, and the UN is wrong, and so we shouldn't go along with that. So what would the Saudi plan give Israel? Just a bunch of promises for land, and wants them to give up their land. But guess what? It's not just the Saudis. The Bahrain, country of Bahrain, they signed the Abraham Accords. The UAE signed the Abraham Accords, and so on and so forth. Now we have Syria and their new leader. How many have heard of the new leader of Syria? The new leader of Syria, he wants Israel to give up all of the Golan Heights that they attacked and won in 1967. And the Golan Heights protects them from Syria and the nations around them. Listen, Israel has dealt with Hezbollah, who is a proxy of Iran. Israel has dealt with Hamas, who is in the Gaza. I'm just saying to you that Israel is not done. You heard about the bombing of Iran's nuclear sites? It's not done. There's going to be regime change in Iran. There's going to be a taking out of the nuclear sites, but it's going to cause a disaster, and people are going to be scattered worldwide. You hear about the bombing of, listen to me, Damascus. How many heard in the news about the bombing of Damascus? How many of you know that Isaiah 17, 1, verse 1 through 14 says that Damascus, which is the oldest continuing city in the world, is going to be destroyed in one day? And it says in verse 9 of Isaiah 17, who does it? Any of the men know who does it? Who destroys it? Luke? That's right. In verse 9 it says it's Israel. Isaiah 17, in that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel. And there shall be desolation. It's going to be so bad that that bomb, and it'll probably be a nuclear bomb, that Israel was forced to blow off, because all these nations that are supposedly supposed to get in the Abraham Accords, they're going to fight against Israel. All of them. Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7, and on and on. Jeremiah 49, they're going to fight against Israel. Who's going to win? Israel. Because God put them back in the land. Yes, they're going to have to go through chastening. Yes, they're going to have to go through some very hard times to get right with God. Are they right with God? No, they're not. They haven't accepted Jesus. But they will. And God is setting that up. And so you and I need to have God's foreign policy plan. And I'll wrap it up here. Choose God's foreign policy toward Israel. Know how to explain that. You say, why should I, Pastor, know how to explain that? Because it will help you to witness. I got saved because I got curious about God and the Bible like I'd never been before. I was a teenager, but I got curious because of what God was doing in the Middle East. If you know what God's doing in the Middle East, you'll be able to talk about it. You say, why? Because the Bible says when these foreign nations are defeated, these Islamic nations are defeated, people are not going to praise Allah. They're going to praise Jehovah God. And you can point them to Jehovah Jesus. Amen. Whether it's Jew or Gent, you can point them. And I've been doing it. We have a lady, Lisa. She'll be coming to our house. She's involved in the Hollywood industry. She's Jewish. Her father was Jewish chairman of Philip Morris. And rich relatives. I mean, these guys are billionaires. And they invited us out there to Poconos last summer. We went out there where my wife's giving her testimony how we got married to all these rich Jewish people. It was crazy. And Lisa said, my relatives are neurotic. The Jews are neurotic. She said, they're afraid of everything because they want to have the mask on and all this. We're out there. God just put us in that place where we can witness to them. I preached messages from the Bible like I'm doing tonight. A series of messages on Israel. Those messages got into the IDF and people in the Israeli army were listening to my messages over there. You see, I bless Israel. And I hope Lisa will get saved. I really do. She's trying to get in touch with her Jewish roots. She went back and gave me all this information, which I have to look it up. It's about her relatives in the Holocaust. And she wants me to look it up. And she loves us, just loves our family with a stubborn love. And I want her to love our Savior. And she's teaching her kids about Judaism. But I want her to know about what it's all about, Jesus Christ. So that's what it's all about. And let's provoke people to jealousy because of what we have. Amen? Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder, have you witnessed?